We're gonna be very unbaptistical. It's been a while since we did this, but we got to practice. Your arms may be a little stiff because it's been a while, but do you have a reason to praise the Lord? Amen and amen. That's very biblical. It's right out of Nehemiah chapter 8, okay? Just so that the Baptists don't throw me out of the convention or anything. This is very biblical that we say amen and amen in praise to God for who He is. We have a reason, oh my soul, we have a reason to praise His name. Don't forget that. I got to keep these words handy because there's a couple words in some of our songs this morning that I want to bring back and remember in our message today. Back to Genesis. Well, it sounds like a radio program or something, doesn't it? Hopefully I won't get in trouble for plagiarizing just for saying that. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I have it, that's not the title that I have at the top of my sheet as I was studying this week. The title that I have on my paper is one that I've used many, many times before, so I was trying to be a little more creative, and that is very fitting too. But the one I have at the top of my paper was, He did what He said He would do. And I use that sermon title a lot because it's really important that we know and understand and realize that what God says He will do, He does it. He is faithful. And He does what He says He's going to do. I'm getting ahead of myself. I usually do. I have an illustration, a real-life illustration that I want to share with you that has absolutely nothing to do with my message this morning, but it was just such a cool illustration that I couldn't let it go. Friday night, we had game night at our house, and we were playing games. And the question came up in Uno, how you play a certain card a certain way. And somebody didn't like the way I was doing it. So he went to his mom and he said, Mom! And mom said, house rules. When you play here, you play by the house rules. And when you play at our house, you play by our house rules. And if you play at Shirley's, then you play by Shirley's house rules. Well, guess what? I got good news today. There's only one house rule. There is one house rule that we all need to play by the same rules right here. Doesn't matter whose house you're at. Doesn't matter if you're at my house or if you're at Kayla's house or if you're at Shirley's house. The house rules are in God's words. And when our society contradicts that, that's not popular. We don't like to hear the truth. I say they, we. We don't like to hear the truth all the time. But we need to play by God's rules, and of course that makes me think of Philippians 2 that says that we be of the mind of Christ. Not your mind, because your mind isn't always straight, right? Mine is, but you know, not... Mine's not always straight either. But that doesn't matter, because if you have the mind of Christ, according to Philippians 2, and I have the mind of Christ, we will be looking at the same goal, the same purpose, and the same house rules. And that we seek to honor God in the way that we live. Not the way I think you should live, not the way I think I should live, not the way you think you should live. But that we would focus and concentrate and live according to the way God wants us to live. That was free, extra, no charge. Back to Genesis. The first few chapters of Genesis, we've pointed this out, and I really think it's an important part of Genesis, so I'm going to bring it up from time to time. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, when God came looking for Adam and Eve, and He said, "Where are you guys?" It wasn't because He didn't know where they were. He knew exactly where they were. He is omnipotent. He knew. He wasn't confused. They weren't lost. He knew exactly where they were. What God was doing in that moment of asking them where they were, He was giving them a chance to repent. He was giving them a chance to say, Lord, we've broken your law. We've sinned against you. We confess our sins to you so that we ask you to restore that relationship and fellowship between you and us. Joshua chapter 7, when the Israelites lost at the Battle of Ai, little old Ai. I'm sure it was much smaller than Newberry. But 36 Israelites were killed. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. Achan, when they defeated Jericho, Achan saw some stuff. And he wanted some of that stuff. Because that stuff looked pretty cool stuff. So he took some of that stuff and he hid that stuff in the sand underneath his tent. And God told him not to do that. And so God, after the defeat at Ai, Joshua says, Lord, what happened? What have we done? God says, you've got sin in the camp. He says, we're going to address this tomorrow morning. And even by giving him tomorrow morning, till tomorrow morning, he's given Achan an opportunity. And the next morning, they pull out his tribe. Then they pull out his clan. Then they pull out his family. Then they pull out his household. And if you remember, Achan and all that he had in his entire family were stoned and then burned because of their disobedience to God. But at each point, when he's going from the tribe to the clan, to the household, to the family, at each and every step, God has given Achan an opportunity to repent because that's what God wants. He wants us to repent of our sin. He wants that fellowship to be restored. Here in chapter 4 now, verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Sarcasm with God is not a good thing. It's not a wise choice, okay? God knew where Abel was. It wasn't that God didn't know where Abel was. He was giving Cain an opportunity to repent of his sin. We won't turn there, but Matthew 18 is where it discusses church discipline. And how if you see a brother or a sister in sin, that you go to them and say, hey, this isn't right. You're breaking God's law. You're breaking fellowship with God. Fix this. And if they choose not to, then you take another one with you and you address the issue. And if they still refuse, you take it to the church. But at no point is the purpose and goal to poke somebody in the eye. It's restoration. It's to bring them back into the fellowship. It's so that relationship with God can be restored. I know some people think that if they cut your head off, that makes you them taller than you. No, it doesn't. What joy do we have? And there should be absolutely none. When we have to approach a brother or sister and say, man, I see the sin in your life. I know that we had this saying in the military, and it's very applicable to any circumstance, I believe, is that you praise in public, but you punish in private. That's why Matthew 18, God says, go to that individual alone to see if they won't make it right, if they won't confess and repent and restore that relationship. I'm not a better person because somebody sinned. Just because I'm more righteous and can poke them in the eye about it. No. Okay, you know what we say, one finger that way, I got three poking me back in my own eye because of my own sin. But the goal is restoration. Yes, there's judgment. Yes, there's punishment for sin. But the joy that we can have, I have a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul, is when that fellowship is restored. When I can communicate with Him again without fear, without guilt. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, that's all he wants to do is tear us down. He does not want us to restore that fellowship and that relationship with God. Because when that happens, God can work through us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if He can tear us down, if He can help us bury our heads in our guilt, He wins. And then the purpose that we have here on earth is not accomplished. And our purpose here on earth is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. It's to call the attention to Him, praise Him for what He's done, and praise Him for who He is. And this may be a sermon not going quite where I thought it was, but you may say, well, boy, Pastor, that's a sermon of a lot of things you've already talked about in the past. It is. But this is all, and I know counseling techniques, okay, my wife and I have both agreed neither of us would ever be very good counselors, although with training we might get better. But our method of counseling is suck it up, buttercup. Pull up your bootstraps. Suck it up. You're not the first one that's ever gone through that. Have a friend up in the Keweenaw that she is just terrified to go across the Mackinac Bridge. She'll drive down to Chicago and back up to go to Gaylord rather than go across the bridge. All right? That's how much she hates going across the bridge. And I look at her and I say, you know, millions of people cross that bridge every year, and it's still standing. Hasn't fallen in. You can do it. It's going to hold up when you go across. It's not just waiting for you to get in the middle of the bridge, and then it's going to collapse. Okay? You don't have to go there. It's going to hold. It's going to accomplish its purpose. So don't be afraid of that. This is a quote that I use from Philip Bethencourt in his commentary on Genesis a couple weeks ago, but I want to read it again. And listen, please listen closely. It is easy to ignore our particular sins because we live in a culture that wraps them up in a therapeutic package and justifies them with all kinds of explanations. Our society wants to explain away sin. It's because I'm diseased. I got this disease or that disease. At some point, we made a choice. We made a choice to sin. Oh, Pastor, just because you think we should have self-control, that's not a popular opinion. Let's wrap it up in this therapeutic package or garbage bundle so that we can justify our sin. Folks, sin is sin. Sin is sin. Look at Genesis 3:15. It's one of the key verses in Genesis, and we've gone there many times already, and we'll continue to as we go throughout the book. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, being Jesus Christ, will crush you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel. everything that God does. Remember when Satan said, I will be like you, I will be like the Most High? Normally, we say on the human side that imitation is the fondest form of flattery or something like that. Satan took it to the wrong level. Satan took it to the pride level, to where he wanted to replace God. He wanted to be uno number one. He wanted to be it. He didn't want to follow God. He wanted to be God. What we will see throughout the scriptures, what we see in our own lives, is Satan's attempts to destroy what God created. I'm going to give you your, I'm not done yet. Wishful thinking on your part. I'm not done yet. But I'm going to give you your homework for a couple of weeks from now. So no excuses. You got 2 weeks to get it done. And you can't say the dog ate my homework. I want you to look through Genesis. I'm so used to saying Acts. I almost said Acts. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 26. And compare what you see there to what you see in chapter 5. Got that all written down? You're going to do that? I'm not even going to tell you what to look for. I think you're intelligent enough, you'll figure it out. And when you're looking, just keep this thought in mind. What God has established, Satan wants to duplicate, replicate, whatever. He wants to make it look like it's his. And if he can't make it look like it's his and he's the owner, then he wants to destroy it. Our title, Choose You This Day Whom You Will Serve. Okay, quote from Bethencourt again. Our legacy is our long-term impact from our short time here on earth. Legacy, our long-term impact from our short time on earth. When I was in sixth grade, I got in trouble at school. Well, every other grade too, but this, I'm just thinking of this particular episode. I did something that all the other kids were doing, and of course, you know, it's been a lifelong lesson to me. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's okay for you to do it. Because you're the one that's going to get caught, not them. No, it's wrong because it's wrong, okay? And there was a bunch of us on the playground doing something we shouldn't have been doing. Whose name made it to the principal's desk? This was sixth grade. My dad had been a pastor in town. He'd been on the school board. Had a name that meant something. And he had been killed in an accident when I was in first grade. Fast forward to sixth grade. The principal called me in and I basically said, I know what I did. I don't know the full extent or the full meaning of what I did, but I know I probably shouldn't have been doing it. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, you know, he said, I knew your dad. I knew your dad. And I understand what you're saying. And my punishment, I think, was just a little bit less. Still got punished, as I should have. But it was a little bit less because of my dad's legacy. the name that he had in the community, the reputation that he had. Not proud to say that I rode his coattails to a lesser punishment. But we all leave a legacy. It's either going to be a positive legacy or it's going to be a negative legacy. What kind of legacy are you leaving? See, because our legacy is our long-term impact from our short time on earth. My dad left a godly legacy, and what happens, good or bad, positive or negative, when you leave a legacy, it affects the generations to come. Doesn't just affect you, and we've talked about that in our sin, and Adam and Eve in their sin, they realized that when their son Cain killed their son Abel, that their sin affected them. So we know that, our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects those around us. So if it's a negative, sinful legacy that you're leaving, you can expect your lineage, not necessarily, but most likely, to not be a godly, holy lineage. That it's going to be you have the reputation of being godless, being without God. Or if you leave a godly legacy, your lineage, your children, your grandchildren will follow God. Now, Satan is going to do, he's got this side taken care of. He doesn't even got to bother with that. He's going to spend his time and his focus over here trying to tear down those that choose to follow God. Chapter 4, verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod. We read up in verse 12 that he was going to be a wanderer, a vagrant, not have a home. So his legacy is being established. He murders his brother. God intended him to be a farmer, a farmer. And now his occupation is changing from farmer to wanderer. And as we get going in the passage today, now he's settling down in the land of Nod. Nod means wanderer. So I don't even know if that necessarily means it was a specific city. It was an area to wander in. Settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Verse 17, Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. So now, the agricultural farmer has gone from that to wanderer, and now he's a city builder. He's unsettled. And just like we said before in the verses a couple weeks ago, in the verses up above 9 through 15, is that never at any point does Cain repent of his sin. He feels remorse because he got caught. He feels remorse because he's marked. But that mark was a positive thing for him because that's what God said he would do. He said he would put a mark on Cain so that nobody would kill Cain. We have no idea what that mark was. If it was on a forehead, an arm, his chest, whatever. We don't know. But we do know that God protected him just like he said he would. Even though he never repented of his sin. And if you want to hear or read a section of scripture about whining, sniveling, whatever you want to call Cain, he wasn't the kind of guy you hope your daughter brings home, all right? Verse 18, now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahula, and Mahula became the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah became the father of Lamech. Lamech took himself two wives. Wrong answer. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and that wife in the Hebrew is singular. And the two and they became one flesh. See what starts happening down through the generations? I mean, Adam and Eve started this mess. Seth followed in their footsteps and sinned even more. And now, as you go down the family tree, the roots are further and farther from the holiness of God. Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Now we have musical instruments. So even though sin has entered into the society here, they haven't lost the creativity that God gave them. For Zillah, verse 22, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama, forger of all instruments, bronze and iron. We have some craftsmen here. They've got some skills. They know what they're doing. Verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. And he's bragging to his wife that he's murdered two people. This is the side of the family tree that Satan's not too worried about because they're already in his court. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Just like Cain, he's mocking God. He said, Cain killed one, he's got God's protection. I've killed two, I should get even more protection. That's the kind of messed up thinking we have when we walk away from God. We read about Cain's sin. We read about Lamech boasting about murdering. I'm sure they never thought that their sins would be recorded for all of time and that we would be reading about them thousands of years later. But by a show of hands, how many of you would like to have your sins inscribed into the Word of God for everybody to read? Wait a minute, let me rub my eye again. I don't see anybody's hands going up. You don't want to brag about your sin? Well, that's a good sign anyhow. That's a good sign. But just as they sinned, our sin nailed Christ to the tree. And in spite of that, he wants us to walk in the path to repentance, to come back, to have fellowship, to be restored in that relationship with him, because he loves you that much. I have a reason to praise the Lord, O my soul. Do I ever? Pretty somber what's going on here. But when you look at what we can have on the other side of that, it's pretty joyful. Because we know that that when one person here on earth comes to Jesus Christ, comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there is a celebration in heaven. Amen. That is so good. So good. The angels get excited when one of us comes to know Jesus. Verse 25, Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. These men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Seth was born to replace Abel. We say that no child can ever replace another, and truly I don't believe you can. But God gave, God gave Adam and Eve a son to not to replace, but to add a blessing back into their life for what was taken from them. Man began to call upon the Lord. Cain and Abel were first generation after Adam and Eve in creation. Cain kills Abel. Cain, and obviously, is taking his legacy and his lineage down the path away from God. Now, Adam and Eve are given another son. They're given a son named Seth, who is following after and choosing to follow God. And for the first time in the history of man, although at this point it's very short history, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to understand who He was and what He had for them. And folks, we must confess our sin. We must repent to God and accept His forgiveness, because He wants that relationship restored. And we should want the blessing, the joy, the peace of that fellowship, of that restored relationship that comes with Him. I'll give you a clue on your homework. It's probably too much, but I'll just give you, I'll be a good politician here. I'm going to give you one word, a one-word clue. Family tree. That was supposed to be funny. All right. Isn't that what politicians say? I got one word, and then they give three or four or something. Okay, never mind. Remember, as you look at that, at the homework, the end of chapter 4 and into chapter 5, the difference that it makes for your legacy and your lineage of those that walk with God. Remember that Satan tries to throw up any counterfeit he can. He wants to destroy marriage. He doesn't want it to look like what God intended it to look like, because if he can pollute and pervert the marriage that is to be between one man and one woman, then when we look at the end times and there's the marriage of the church as the bride of Christ to Christ, then that image and that vision of what that should be is all messed up. Because maybe we're thinking there should be another bride. This guy had two brides. That's Satan. That's what Satan wants. That's what Satan wants you to believe. And that's not right, because that wasn't God's plan from the beginning of time. Don't let God, or don't let Satan destroy what God has made. choose you this day whom you will serve. Please let it be God, not yourself, not Satan. We know from John 8 that Cain was called being of his father, the devil. Cain's father was the devil because spiritually he followed the devil, not God. So who are you following? Remember, sin is a somber thing, and it should be. But we have victory in Jesus. We can have the joy in our hearts of that restored relationship. And if we had another hour and a half, I'd just carry out the point that we need to carry that in our relationship with Christ into our relationships with one another. Ah, that's a whole nother sermon. And I had it in my notes to give this morning, but please, please seek God. Seek after Him. Seek the joy. Seek a reason to praise the Lord of my soul. Stand with me if you would.